as we went over last week, just about feminism and the progression of it and the history of it and where it has led to us today and how we saw in 1949, the question was asked then, what is a woman, and how we see that that is a prevalent question today in the light of transgenderism and pronouns. And we are asking, what is a woman? And God says, let me tell you, go to Titus chapter 2, verse 3. So we did, we took a few weeks to look at the roles of men and women. We started 2 weeks ago with that, the roles that God established at creation for men and women and how they are to relate to one another. These were established at the beginning. And they serve, the roles for men and women established at the beginning, they serve as the foundation for the roles of men and women in the church. And we looked at that because we need that foundation, that understanding as we approach these verses. We also need to understand and know what the obstacles are in following God's good biblical ways. And we looked at feminism and the dangers there, and how it leads us away from God's truth. We looked at egalitarianism, an ideology in the church, and how that can lead us away from God's truth as well. And the purpose of the last 2 weeks was for us to gain a clear understanding of our calling as women and how it aligns with biblical order. But we always have to be on guard because Satan seeks to undermine God's order. Undermine the order that God established for men and women. He wants us to not see the beauty in that order. He wants us to see it as oppressive and unfair and not biblical. God's call to women is countercultural. We all should know this by now. But I want to make sure that we all recognize the tactics of society and culture and the enemy that want to lead us to believe that God's ways are not for us and they are not for today. But God's ways are good. And when we follow them, we live in holiness, which sets us apart from the culture and therefore brings glory to God. And women who live by God's good ways and do the good things are healthy women and contribute to a healthy church, which is the message of Titus. So let's read Titus 2, and we'll start in verse 1. But as for you, Paul is speaking to Titus, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith and love and patient. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Today we focus on verse 3. We focus on the older woman and the qualities necessary for teaching the younger women. And young girls, don't tune out. And I want to remind us all, most of you, probably all of us in this room, that won't be true for tonight because we have high school girls, but all of us are older than someone, right? Young women with daughters, you have this opportunity now. If you are a young adult, you can be pouring into a high school or junior high girl. If you're in your 30s or 40s, by my standard, that is still young. And there are many older women who can come alongside you. But in your 30s and 40s, you can come alongside a young adult. All the characteristics needed for an older woman that are laid out here in verse 3, they are godly characteristics. And we all of us, no matter our age, should strive to possess these qualities. Because it does not say in Titus chapter 2, verse 3, that the older married women likewise. So therefore, these verses are for everyone in this room, young, old, married, not married. But before we get into scripture and we go line by line and figure out what it all means, ladies, would you consider doing whatever it takes to be a godly woman in a younger woman's life? Would you? Would you consider doing whatever it takes, letting go of whatever you need in order to be a godly woman in a younger girl's life. Would you? Rather than view verse 3 as an unachievable to-do list or a set of rules that seem unattainable, or that you're just too old to change, this is how I've always been, too old, it's too hard, or maybe your life wasn't all daisies and chocolate pie, so you've already decided that you're not qualified. Would you instead see this as a God-given opportunity, a calling, an amazing privilege to come alongside another and contribute to their growth? Would you let go of who you think you are and embrace who God made you to be so that you can be an older, more mature, seasoned woman in someone's life? It simply could be teaching a young wife to iron or meal plan. It could be doing a one-on-one Bible study with a new mom who's struggling to find time to be in the Word because she has kids just running amok. It could be meeting with a young girl who's struggling to make friends, or a young girl who's struggling to find a job so she can move out of her parents' home. It could be taking a weekly walk with a young woman who just simply needs encouragement. It may also involve committing to disciple someone younger, whether they're younger in chronological age or younger in spiritual maturity or maybe even younger in just life experiences. Discipling someone younger with the goal of studying the Bible together, learning how to grow while teaching her the good things. These are the opportunities we have. Would you consider doing whatever it takes to be that godly woman in a younger woman's life? Titus 2 is a how to be a godly woman manual that includes a unique mentorship aspect. And these verses, they're the framework of biblical femininity. Verse 3 is where it all starts, with the qualities of the older woman. It's never too late to develop these qualities. But no, these qualities are essential. They're required for teaching younger women. So Titus chapter 2 verse 1 says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." Look at what it says in the New Living Translation. I love this. "As for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching." The Bible is a book that tells us how to live, and we can't just believe it. We must do what it says, and this is the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Paul is saying this is the way we live, and that reflects sound doctrine. Verse 2 says that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. To be sober means to be temperate in the use of wine. To be reverent means to be dignified and honorable. As you studied last week, you learned that it means to be set apart. To be reverent means to be set apart, holy, a sanctified life. To be temperate means to be self-controlled. It is the opposite of frivolity and carelessness. And to be sound in faith, love, and patience means to know the Word of God and to love sound doctrine. And it's bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We know from Titus 2 that these qualities in verse 2 were qualities to be found in the other woman as well, because it says the older woman likewise. Likewise, just as the men were to be, likewise the women were to be. Now, older women, real older women, women who are older in age, are those who have grown children. They've already raised a family. Or maybe they're retired. I'm 57 years old. My husband and I live alone in our house with no children. We have them. They just have other homes. And some of them have their own children, all of whom we love more than them. Sorry, Janie. I qualify on all fronts as an older woman. I have kids who drive minivans. I have kids who have more rows of seats than I do in my car. And if you're around my age or at that time of life, you may have found yourself with extra time. And you may currently feel displaced and lost now that the roles of your younger days have ended and the kids are out of the house, or you no longer are in your career day to day. But this is not the time to be a flibbertigibbet. Going to the mall, meeting up with friends to catch up on the latest gossip, spending hours at the gym, then at the spa, and then, of course, because you're my age, at the med spa, you know. Now, lunch dates and workouts and additional spa treatments, these are all good things. These are all fine. But too much of these things, and the world would begin to pull you in. And the focus turns completely inward. And if the older women shut themselves off from the younger women, this certainly will not contribute to the health of our church community. And younger girls, don't get so wrapped up in your child rearing or your education or your career that you miss out on the wisdom of someone further along in life than you are. We all need to be willing to learn from one another and to live sacrificially. And ladies my age, when you're with the younger women, don't just sit around and talk about your achy joints or how hot you are at night. And I don't mean hot at night. I mean, the younger girls, they don't want to hear about that. They can't relate. I remember being 30 and being like told about menopause. At 30, it's never going to happen. It's never going to come. And here it is. Shopping for special sheets. But the young girls don't care. So don't just make your time about that, about what the things they don't have to look forward to. But instead, we are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine. We are to be teachers of good things. And we're going to go a little out of order in the verses, in verse 3, because I want to finish with reverent behavior. This is holiness, because the other qualities that are listed after reverent behavior are an outpouring of choosing to live a holy life. Now, we're going to begin taking from verse 2 that a beautiful, feminine, precious quality in a woman is that she is temperate. This is listed in the qualities for a man, and we know that likewise we are to also exhibit these qualities. But the word temperate is the Greek word sophron. It means of a sound mind, sane, in one's senses. It means curbing one's desires and impulses, self-controlled, temperate. Curbing one's desires, taking what we want to do and knowing that there is something better, and foregoing that and doing what God asks us. It's the same Greek word that we're going to look at in a couple weeks in verse 5, the word discreet, self-controlled. It is definitely, to be self-controlled and discreet and temperate is definitely the opposite of a flibbertigibbet. As a flibbertigibbet would not control her own impulses, but she would do whatever she wanted. A godly woman is one who is self-controlled. Self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We see in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And the Greek word here is just a little bit different than it is in Titus. It's the Greek word ingrataia, and it is the virtue of one who masters her desires and passions, especially her sensual appetites. And when filled with the Holy Spirit and committed to living sacrificially and godly, we can and we will have self-control. But it is something we purpose, we decide to develop in our character. Self-control is needed to surrender to the role of helpmate in marriage. It is needed for sobriety, a sound mind. It is needed to hold the tongue, all the qualities that we are going to look at today. The opposite is no control, an undisciplined life, unruly and untamed, a disregard for God's word and his ways. Self-control is meekness. It is power under control. And to be meek is to be the opposite of how the world system describes a strong woman. The world says that if, in order to be strong, we have to say, I can take care of myself. I don't need a man. I can defend myself. I can do what I want, when I want. That doesn't take any strength at all. To do things my way takes no strength. I have to exercise absolutely zero control, which takes strength, to have that attitude. I can take care of myself and do what I want. This is the mantra of the feminist. What takes more strength? Not doing your own thing or whatever you want. It's easy. The world's way is really actually quite weak. To be different and set apart, self-control, that takes a strong woman. But that strength must be exercised under the control of the authority of God's word in your life. And we must not give way to our own desires or selfish desires. Do you want to be temperate? Do you want to be a woman of God who is self-controlled? Then live in this way, what we see in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Let it go. Holy, acceptable to God. This is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to the world. Do not be conformed to the ideologies of the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A beautiful, godly woman is temperate. She is also not a slanderer. Now, in the King James Version of Titus chapter 3, instead of slanderer, it says false accuser. The Greek word, this is very interesting, is diabolos, which means devils. 34 times in the New Testament, when speaking of the devil, it uses this word, accuser. So let us take this character trait extremely serious. A woman who slanders is one who falsely accuses, one who gossips, one who is loose with her tongue. Now, according to Scripture, when you looked up several verses in your homework this last week about gossip and slander, and according to Scripture, we know that a slanderous woman is foolish. But instead, our speech is to be gracious and seasoned with salt. We are to let no unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful to building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We are to let our words be few. We are to be slow to speak. We are to develop that gentle and quiet spirit that we read about a couple weeks ago in 1 Peter chapter 3 that is precious in the sight of God. Gentle and quiet. And this requires self-control, as our tongues can be destructive. A loose tongue is not the quality of a godly woman. And you may say, well, you know what, that's just who I am. I just shoot it straight. I just say what I'm thinking. I come from a big family where we all had to fight to be heard. If this is your excuse for not letting your words be few and developing that gentle and quiet spirit, stop it. Just stop it. Stop making excuses for why you don't live according to the precious word of God. Gossiping women do not make a healthy church. It will quickly ruin the reputation of Christians. It is a trait that leads those on the outside to call those of us in the church hypocrites. And it disqualifies the older women from mentoring the younger. I remember many years ago when I was in college, and I had a dear friend. She was my freshman year roommate, and she confided in me something very personal, a tragedy that happened when she was a few years younger. And I noticed over time that our relationship had changed. She wasn't talking to me as much. She wasn't confiding in me as much. She'd become distant. She wasn't asking to hang out. And we were on a walk one day, and she told me, she said, you know, I know things have been different with us, but what I told you a couple years ago you told someone else. And instantly I knew that I was wrong, I was caught, I'd done something I shouldn't have. I had risked losing a dear friend. I'm so grateful that she confronted me. I'm so grateful for that correction right in front of her, where I had to admit that I was wrong, admit that I did exactly that. I only told someone else because it was shocking, it was juicy. And seeing the other person's response brought me some weird pleasure, as gossip always does. But she showed me grace, and in doing so, I was able to make that correction. We read in our homework in Proverbs 16:28, the latter part, a whisper, a gossip, a slanderer. It separates the best of friends. Ladies, I want all of us to search our hearts, because this is a weakness for women. I struggle with it. I constantly have to ask the Lord for forgiveness for saying too much or saying something to the wrong person in the wrong way at the wrong time. But this is an area where we get to exercise self-control. And we need to ask the Lord to give you the strength, to give us the strength to hold our tongues. Sometimes that's just what we need to do. Just hold it. Say nothing. Let our words be few. If it isn't necessary, zip it. If it isn't kind, zip it. If you wouldn't want the person you are talking about to overhear you, which is always a good indicator that you're gossiping, zip it. If it isn't edifying, zip it. And if it will blow your witness, zip it. A beautiful, godly woman does not slander. She is also not given to much wine. As the older men were called to be sober, the women were likewise instructed. Now, nowhere in Scripture is alcohol forbidden. However, there was a lot of Scripture forbidding drunkenness. Another word for sober is temperate, which is self-control. It is the Greek word nephalios. It means abstaining from wine, either entirely or at least from its immoderate use. To be given to much wine, along with being a slanderer, classifies one as a flibbertigibbet. Too much wine was a common failing in the older women in Roman and Greek culture, which is why it is being addressed, but it is today as well. For middle-aged women, for some reason, wine is a thing. Many of my peers think it's cool to post a picture of themselves with their girlfriends drinking wine or sitting on the kitchen counter with a drink of wine, wine clubs, wine word art, wine decor. I have to have my wine. I don't know what I would be without my wine. Saying a drink here and there won't hurt. I won't drive. I'll be home if I drink too much. You know, a drink here and there won't hurt. But if you love your wine or your whiskey or whatever it is, even your marijuana, can you be moderate, temperate, and self-controlled in its use? We are all called to live soberly. Any amount of alcohol that crosses the line of sobriety is too much, because it will render you ineffective as a godly woman. It opens up opportunities to sin, to say something you shouldn't, or just look plain old stupid. For some, complete abstinence is important. Maybe it's doing things for the conscious sake of others. Maybe for you, the command in Corinthians to do things for the conscious sake of others involves zero alcohol. Maybe it's your calling in ministry. The potential to stumble someone is just too great, and so therefore you forego your liberty in Christ, the freedom you have, to partake of a drink or two. And it also, for you, involves complete abstinence. Maybe it is for someone you love who is in recovery and you need to support them. Maybe it's your own recovery and the mistakes of your past mean no drinking ever. So for some, complete abstinence from alcohol is important. For others, occasional drinks never lead to any level of inebriation, and therefore they can exercise their liberty in their area. But I want to say this to everybody. Be mindful of those to whom you are ministering to. Would it stumble them? If you are ministering to a younger woman who had an alcoholic, abusive father, Would she be stumbled? And you ask yourself this, it's a question. Would she be stumbled if she saw things in your fridge that might make her think that you don't exercise that properly? Always be mindful, because all of us are called to live soberly. It is a place of maturity, and it is a qualification to minister to younger women. A beautiful, godly woman is temperate and therefore can hold her tongue and also maintain a sober life. And she can do these things because she has chosen to be reverent in behavior. To be reverent in behavior are the qualities of a sanctified life. A woman who is holy, the outpouring of these qualities come from a sanctified life, to be self-controlled, to be sober, to have beautiful speech. Ladies, be a woman who lives by the standards of Titus 2. Choose daily not to live by the standards of our culture. Resist them. Take your thoughts captive when opportunities come to indulge in yourself and your own worth rather than the truth of God's word. When my kids were little, I didn't have the opportunity to indulge in myself, to take time for myself. We had no family here. But now that my kids are out of the house and life has changed and I am truly that older woman, those opportunities to just kind of slack off here and there, they're there. And if you're in that stage of life as I am, be mindful of that. Resist the temptation to look inward. Choose to live a sanctified life. Sanctification is the process of becoming holy and set apart. Remember, it's a process. It begins at salvation and it continues throughout the believer's life. Do you remember the definition of holiness from your homework? It means cleansing self from all defilement, forsaking sin. It is a process. We do these things throughout our lifetime. We are all to be holy because God himself is holy and he has called us to be holy. And our prayer here at our women's fellowship is for all of us to walk worthy. A holy, set apart life, a sanctified life is a worthy walk. And to be the godly woman described in Titus chapter 2, verse 3, we must take heed to the word of God. We must spend time in God's word. We must hide it in our heart and live in obedience to it. To be the godly woman described in Titus 2, we must put off our old ways. Gossip, drinking, being frivolous, focusing on ourselves. And we need to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. We must deny ourselves and we must surrender to God's ways. As you pursue holiness, also pursue wisdom. I don't know about you, but when I look for a woman who can come alongside me and encourage me in my growth, I want her to be wise. Proverbs 14:1 says, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands." Build your house, your home. Be your husband's helpmate. The virtues to be taught to the younger women, three of them are to love their husbands and children and to manage their homes. Manage yours. Manage it well so that you can teach them. Older women, wisdom can be gained simply from life experiences. We learn over time. Decades of walking with God can result in a beautiful portrait of a life well traveled and learned. Proverbs tells us over and over again, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Get it. Pursue it. It tells us in James, if you lack wisdom, ask. Simply ask. Ask for wisdom and it will be given to us liberally. But if we doubt and we do not ask, we are a flibbertigibbet, tossed to and fro by the sea. Another verse in Proverbs, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Get it. How much better to get wisdom than gold? It is incredibly valuable. It's a treasure. In all you're getting, get understanding. Ladies, pursue wisdom. Ask for it. In wisdom, we find true contentment. Contentment with who we are in Christ Jesus. This is the mark of a mature woman. To be content, we must not dwell on our insecurities. We can't. We can't compare ourselves to others. That's not contentment. It's not wisdom. We must rest in who we are and what God has called us to, not what somebody else has been called to. We can't compare ourselves with other women and where they are in their walk. This is not contentment, nor is it wisdom. Pursue wisdom and therefore find contentment and rest in who you are and what God has called you to. As a younger woman, I would have looked for a wise woman, wise from a life well lived, weathered with trials and storms. I would have looked for a woman who was content with all she had. She didn't dwell on her fat thighs or whether or not people thought she was cool. She was content with the unconditional love of her Savior, and she did not seek the approval of others. I would have looked for a woman who cared well for all God had given her stewardship over, her family, her husband, her work. I would have looked for a woman whose words were few and well-spoken. I would have looked for a woman of discipline, someone who spent each day in the Word, and someone who managed her time well. She would not have been a woman who was distracted by drinking with her girlfriends or spending all her money at the mall. I didn't have to look very far. My own mother exemplified the Titus II woman. And when I grow up, I want to be just like her. I want to be her for my own three daughters and for the young women the Lord entrusts me to disciple. This isn't about me, and it's not about my mom. And I know many did not have the privilege to grow up with a godly woman, a godly mother. So it's not about me. It's not about my mom. It's about what God desires for you right now. Today. If you have a colorful past, so what? So what? Forget those things which are behind. Press forward for the goal in Christ Jesus. Pursue holiness. Pursue wisdom. Find contentment. Change. Grow. Who cares about the past? Who? Nobody. God sure doesn't. And how do you not know that your colorful past is exactly what a young woman needs here at Calvary for you to come alongside and show her what God has done in your life and that she too can forget the things which are behind and press on? If you're widowed or divorced and you didn't live a godly life, don't live in regret. Develop these qualities even now. If you've walked with God for many years, continue to develop these qualities and pour your life well learned into someone younger than you. And young women, develop these qualities that are in verse 3. So you can be a godly woman to your own daughters, should you have them, and to other young women one day. At the beginning of this teaching, I asked, would you consider doing whatever it takes to be a godly woman in a younger woman's life? To share your experiences and your wisdom and what you have learned. To give the example of self-control and sobriety. And what a beautiful, well-spoken, well-thought-of, temperate speech. Would you consider doing whatever it takes, letting go of the things behind? Stop making excuses for who you just are and surrender to being what a woman truly is, one who is temperate, reverent in behavior, not a slanderer, not given to much wine, and a teacher of good things. Can you imagine the health of Calvary Castle Rock if we exemplified the qualities Paul exhorted Titus to encourage the older women to have? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if all of us lived accordingly to the very best of our ability, knowing that we may stumble or fall? But we get right back up. We ask for repentance and we continue on in our pursuit of holiness. Can you imagine? And then we took that and we poured into other women. And those women poured into other women. Can you imagine how boldly the gospel will be preached? Let's do it. Let's march. Let's do it. Let's do it. And it doesn't stop here. And where we continue in Titus 2 is next week we get into the remaining verses and we're going to split those up into two teachings. These are quality for us older ladies. Because you cannot teach somebody where you have not been. You cannot lead where you are not willing to go. So let us all commit today to develop these beautiful qualities so that when someone says, what is a woman? I'll tell you what a woman is. She's reverent in behavior. She has beautiful speech. She's sober. She teaches good things. She teaches younger women to love their husbands and children. She teaches them that they have to submit, and she teaches them in such a beautiful way and with such a beautiful example that it makes them want to do that. She's the guardian and manager of her home. She's discreet, chaste, and she's good. And she preaches the gospel. Let us all commit today to do whatever it takes, girls, to be that woman in somebody's life. Amen.